When the Bad Guy Owned Up. In Psalm 51, David confesses his sin, that which we read about in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. The introduction to the psalm says, when Nathan came. David thought he was getting away with it. He was guilty of adultery, intrigue, and murder. The initial attempt was a cover-up. Some people want a whitewash, but others genuinely want washing white. David was not in a good spiritual position. The status quo could not remain. There were consequences to David's sin, and that was the rebellion of Absalom. So often we excuse our sins. We must deal with them and not cover them up. Our part's finished when the confession is made and there is genuine repentance. God takes over with his loving kindness. Now, David knew the possibility of God blotting out sin. In fact, it could be translated, obliterate my sin. In some psalms, David was saying that he had been more righteous than others. Here, the boot is on the other foot. It is not just to seek the removal of God's anger, it was to have the charge against him removed. Although the answer never came in the Old Testament, it came in the New. Bildad asked the question in Job 25, how can a man be justified before God, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Isaiah saw the promise in the future. In Isaiah 53, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The shortcoming of the old law was solved when Jesus came. In Acts 13:39, it says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Paul lays it on the line. God does not just forgive, but he declares a person right living when they have been wrong living. Romans 4. Verse 5 said, but to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. David states that his sin was against God, and surely it was, but it was also against people. But then Uriah was a child of God. And it caused God's name to be blasphemed or the Lord to be scorned. Every evil act against another person is an act against God. Now, Jesus puts it totally in the positive, saying that whoever gives as much as a cold water to another will be blessed. David speaks about his cleansing. He uses the word blot out in verse 1. In verse 2, he says, wash me. In verse 7, he says, purge me. Make me whiter than snow. He then states, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Let me hear the sound of joy and gladness. Though you have crushed and broken me, I will be happy once again. He was concerned because he knew what had happened to Saul. Cast me not from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me, he asks. And this is the first use of the word the Holy Spirit in the Psalms. Victor Hugo wrote a novel about the French Revolutionary War. He describes a ship caught in a terrible storm. The crew's plight is further compounded by the realization that a cannon is loose below deck. Every wave turns the unchained cannon into an internal battering ram. Two brave sailors risk their lives to go below and secure the cannon. On their descent into the ship, they discuss the fact that the cannon within is more dangerous than the storm without. Psalm 51 is one of the most well-known psalms. Some say it is the most important because it deals with guilt and pardon, peace and purity, repentance and cleansing. We can be forgiven. We praise the Lord. We can be washed whiter than snow. We might have failed the Lord. We might have disappointed our friends and family. And yet we too can use that prayer as a prayer to God. Psalm 51. Blot out my sin. Cleanse me. Purge me. Oh, and God will do when we ask him. Amen. The Lord bless you.